It's good to see everyone this morning. Just remember to keep those who aren't with us in our prayers. That whatever obstacle keeps them from the assembly, that they are able to overcome it. This morning, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but I've been studying a lot lately surrounding a phrase that's used a lot to describe departing from the truth, and that's this phrase that you often hear brought up, referred to as the slippery slope. Right. So for my whole life, I've heard people talk about the slippery slope. Right. What happens whenever you start to, or when you take a step out of the path and you start to slide away from God? A lot of people say that it's a myth, that there's no such thing as a slippery slope, that you make decisions. One decision doesn't necessarily lead to another. Every decision you make is independent. Let's worry about not where we're going, but where we are. But whenever I look at the phenomena, the idea of a slippery slope, the essence of it is tied back to sin. So false doctrine leads a lot of people to disobey God. And we, as we all know, I think disobeying God is sin. So if we love God and we hate sin, the real thing that we need to look at is, what does the Bible teach about this idea of the slippery slope and its relation to sin in general, not necessarily to doctrine specifically, but in general, the idea of what happens when we love something more than God and when we participate willingly in sin, ignoring what our first love is. The Bible terminology, I believe, most closely tied to this idea of the slippery slope is the phrase that you find a couple of different variations of, but this idea of the hardening of your heart. So the slippery slope is sort of an analogy for what will happen, I think, when your heart is not pure, when the heart puts other things in front of God and His will and begins to harden, leading to putting other things in front of God, which hardens the heart further, leading to putting other things in front of God, so on and so forth. So in 1 Timothy 1, and there's going to be a lot of, I'm going to read a lot of Bible verses this morning, so if you want to get your Bible out and follow along, this would be the time. We're going to read several verses. I'm going to try to read through them pretty quickly, so if you want to follow along, 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 6 will be our first verse. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 6. Most Bibles, this is entitled Warning Against False Teachers, but I want to look at what this has to do with this idea of the heart. So it reads, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion." So a couple of things I want to talk about right there is this. One, this idea that these wandering away and teaching these different doctrines talks about speculation rather than stewardship. This idea that thinking about, well, what are these other things that we could do? What are these things that are confusing? What are these things that, instead of trying to hold close, stewardship is the idea of conservation, right? From which we get our word conservative. Basically sticking to what was given, right? This idea of in the environmental world, stewardship has to do with trying to preserve the environment intact, not trying to figure out ways to change it and alter it and make it better, right? But to try to preserve what was originally there. So one of the keys here, I think, is this idea that this pure heart tends to stewardship, not to speculation, right? And that our charge is that love comes from that pure heart, right? So this is a verse that ties together the pure heart and its goal, and its purity is in its oneness. It's in its single purpose, which is this love of God, this wholeness that we should have as Christians. So moving forward, the next verse I want to read is in 1 Timothy as well. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require absence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So here it talks about, it doesn't use the phrase hardening of heart. Instead, it uses this idea of the consciences being seared, and it relates that back to this insincerity, this idea that when the heart hardens, it stops accepting that God's way is the way, and it begins rebelling, right? Through repetition, it sears itself until it can no longer see the way. And in a way, we talk about this idea of a slippery slope, but the terminology the Bible uses talks about a path or a way, and this idea of wandering from it, right? And when you wander from it, it's the same idea. It's this idea of losing your footing or your bearings, right? And then not being able to recover your footing or your bearings, or it being harder once you've left the path to get back to it than if you stay on it, right? And when you have that singleness of purpose, you don't get distracted by the things that seek to pull you off the path. And as you get pulled off, as you start listening to and believing these other things, your conscience becomes seared, and it makes it easier for you to do things that are not godly, because your focus has shifted. So, following that line of thought, in Romans 1:18, Romans 1 and 18, start there. We're going to read through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we see this idea that foolish hearts, right, do not see the truth because they are darkened. The darkening of a heart is not a knowledge problem. As we see right here, it says that they knew God. They knew what they needed to know. They knew. But they chose their own futile thinking over God's way. And when they chose their own futile thinking over God's way, they darkened their heart, right? And through the darkening of their heart, right, they believe their own foolishness. This is the idea. The idea is that as you start believe the lies, as you start looking toward other sources of truth in yourself, in things outside of what God's given us, and you start to wander those directions looking for other inputs other than God's, and you lose that purity of heart, that focus of your heart, that your heart begins to darken or harden. And as it begins to darken or harden, we see that other problems arise. Hebrews 3:7-19. This is kind of a long one. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always grow astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses, and with whom he was provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. We see sin hardens the heart. False teaching is sin. Not knowing God's ways, not following God's ways, is rebellion. Loving any way more than God's way, it hardens the heart in rebellion. As we rebel against God's ways in favor of our own, whatever motivates our own, it may be our pride, it may be our love of something else. And I'll just say this, pride, man's pride, which is talked about a lot in the Bible, is pretty simply just putting that I love myself. That's a love of self is essentially a short way of putting what pride is, and it's putting myself before the truth and myself before other things because I'm in love with myself. If you've ever been around anybody who's extremely prideful, and all of us probably struggle with pride, if you've ever been around anyone who's extremely prideful, they really, really love themselves a lot, more than anything, right? And you can tell it when you have a conversation with them. The more prideful they are, the more they end, the conversation ends up revolving around them. So we see sin hardens the heart. False teaching is sin. So many things are sin that we participate in. And if we participate in these things, we feel our heart hardened, and we are in rebellion. And specifically in here, it talks about the deceitfulness of sin. We believe lies, right? So you see this always tied back to this idea of that the truth is in front of you. The truth is there. Even here it talks about that they hardened their hearts in rebellion, that they had what they needed to have. This is the same God that took them out of Egypt. I didn't even use these verses, and it may come as a surprise to you, many of you, because probably some of the biggest lump of hardening of the heart is in the phrase that's probably turned the most times in the story of the plagues. And of Egypt and of the Pharaoh. It talks about Pharaoh's heart being hardened a bunch, right? As a kid, I always thought about that story, and I'm not going to go into all that, but as a side note, I always thought about that story, and it always just like baffled me why the Pharaoh, being in the presence of the power he was in front of and seeing it over and over and over again, kept changing his mind back, right? Kept going, I'm going to do this, because the facts were in front of him, right? He saw who he was dealing with, and he saw it over and over and over again, and that every time he saw who he was dealing with, and he was like, he embraced the truth, which is that this is God, and I need to do what he says, and I'm going to let these people go, and then he would come right back to, so what happened there, right? And it describes him as having his heart hardened, right? That he wasn't, he chose something over the truth. It wasn't that he didn't see the facts. That he was seeing physically what God's power was in this world right in front of his face, and yet he chose to go back to what he wanted to believe, which was that his power was greater, right? That he had some great power, and this hardening of his heart, he talks about it over and over again. So Moving on, the next verse I want to look at is Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. This is often talked about as Jesus walking on the water, but it's not what I really want to look at. I'll look at specifically, we'll start here in verse 45. We're going to read down through 52. Verse 45 begins, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat." This is right after he fed the thousands with the loaves of bread. I'll give you a little context. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when the evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out. And they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they didn't understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." I'm reading this verse only to kind of show the group. I think it's a good story to read in addition to the backstory about this idea of understanding about the loaves. I'm not really going to dive into that too deep because I think it's a whole other thing. But what I want to talk about is this relationship here we see between the hardness of the heart and how it affects, and the effect of it in the relation to it, to understanding. The truth can be in front of us, but if our heart is hardened, we cannot receive what is obvious to a pure heart, right? So that's the issue that they were having, was this understanding and the hardness of the heart here again tied together, right? And so it becomes pretty obvious and a little scary that if we allow ourselves to have our heart hardened, right, to drift from pureness of heart, singleness of heart, love of God in the path, that we put ourselves, right, onto a more unsure footing, right? This idea, I think, of the idea of the slippery slope came from, right? This idea that when you begin to put things in front of God, it becomes much more easy to put another thing and another thing and another thing. And even though you're confronted with the truth, which should be the cure and is the cure for a pure heart, as your heart hardens, you're less likely to receive, recognize, and understand when the truth's put right in front of you. And in a lot of the cases where we talk about this hardness of heart, these are people that were exposed to physical miracles in front of their face, right? These are people that were exposed to things that were undeniably powerful, right? Right in front of them, and yet still they didn't see what was right and physically right in front of their face for what it was. And over again, it's accredited to the fact that their heart was hardened. So John 12, we'll begin in verse 36. "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." And there's a break there, but I'm going to go right past the break. "When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." Let's stop right there. Though he had done so many signs before them, physical, real miracles in front of them, right? They still did not believe in him, so that these words that I'm about to read would be fulfilled. "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.' Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Again, you see the hardness of the heart, keeping people from seeing what's very obvious and in front of them, right? And you see the hardness of the heart being tied back to this idea of loving something more than God, right? And so you see, whenever you find yourself in this situation, you're adrift, right? You're off path, because the thing that keeps you on path is your love for God. And that keeping that at the top, that's what keeps you on the path. And when you get off path, when you start to drift, it's just easier to drift and drift and drift. And it becomes harder and harder for you to understand and see the truth, even when it's right in front of your face. Jesus did miraculous things to show God's power to men, and yet, due to the hardness of their heart, they could not understand and could not see the truth. You see here that the Pharisees could not confess the truth because they loved the glory of man more than the glory of God. So 2 Chronicles 36:11-14. I'm going to drop back to the Old Testament. I could not begin to include all the verses dealing with the hardening of the heart in this lesson, but I encourage you, it's a good word study. Look up hardness of the heart, look up heart, and kind of study it throughout the scriptures, and you'll see a lot of other verses supporting these same ideas. 2 Chronicles 36, beginning of verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly faithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Israel. Pride is just love for oneself. Love yourself more than you love God, and you will harden your own heart, right? You will not see what should be done, or you will not choose to follow it. Here is a good verse to show us, because it talks about him hardened his heart, right? He did this. He stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart. Message there to us is that this is something we do to ourselves, right? This is something we can do to ourselves. We can make it so that we can't see or won't follow the truth by the fact that we harden our heart and we don't keep our hearts pure and open. Matthew 13, beginning of verse 14. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Again, come back to this passage. Again, when we harden our hearts by placing things in front of God, anything small or big, when our heart is not pure in focus, it hardens. And a hardened heart can barely hear. And a hardened heart cannot understand. And this is a dangerous place to find oneself. When you depend on hearing to be saved, and when you depend on understanding to be saved, and you put yourself in a position where you can't, where you can barely hear, and where you can't understand, then you put yourself in a very dangerous place that's hard to return from. Not impossible to return from, but difficult to return from. Because the things that you rely on to save you, you've damaged them, right? You've made them less open. So that whenever people come to you and they tell you the truth and they give you the knowledge that you need to have, you can barely hear it, right? And even when you've heard it, you can barely understand it. Why? Because your heart has grown dull. and you need your heart to understand, right? It's clear here that you understand with your heart. So the end of this whole thing is this, that you need to love God with all your heart. You need to love God with all your soul. You need to love God with all your mind. You need to maintain a pure heart. And you need to fight the hardening of your heart. Because it's something that we do to ourselves, it is something that we have to fight doing. Right? And the way you fight it is by fighting to always keep your heart pure. Because Matthew 5:8 tells us this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So we know that purity of heart and keeping our hearts from being hardened is the path to God. And we know when we lose it and we start having a hardened heart, it's going to be very hard to find our way back. And it's going to be easier to find our way farther away. And Matthew 5:8 is the benefit of keeping your heart pure. That one day we're guaranteed that if we do that, that we'll see God. That's my message for this morning. I appreciate everybody's attention. And I'll turn the services back over to Jacob.